You are now tuned in to the Nancy Ruffin Show.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Nancy Ruffin Show, the podcast where we talk about God, goals, and growth. I am your host, Nancy Ruffin. And as always, every week, I'm just super excited to be here. I'm excited that you have lent me your ears for the next 30 minutes. I know that there's so much content out there. There are so many podcasts that you can choose from to listen to. And yet here you are listening to me. So for that, I am forever grateful. I want to wish you a happy Love Day. This past weekend, we celebrated Valentine's Day. And for me and my family, it was a pretty low-key day. Nothing out of the ordinary. Of course, we exchanged sweet gifts. We exchanged cards. Just as a reminder to each other of how much we love one another, how much we appreciate each other. The husband ended up picking up takeout from Benihana's for us, and we just enjoyed a really low-key night in. We were watching some old episodes of the David Letterman show on Netflix, not the actual David Letterman talk show that used to come on like late night on Channel 4, but the newer show that he has. My next guest needs no introduction. So we spend the majority of our day just watching TV and just being with each other and being in our presence. And I will tell you that for me is the best way to spend any day. Valentine's Day, holiday, and of course, being on vacation, laid out on a beach somewhere, sipping on a cocktail. But that's the next best thing. Whenever I can just be with my loved ones and just really appreciate the moments of just being together. That togetherness for me means everything. Like, that's my love language. Well, quality time and words of affirmation, of course, because I'm just a lover of words. Like, those are the things that are really important to me. I'm not really big on gifts. Like, big extravagant gifts are not my thing. I'm more of the thoughtful kind of gift person. So, you know, something that really requires some thought because they've paid attention to something that I've said, or they're really listening to the things that bring me joy and fill my soul. Like, I'm that kind of person. I'm not one for the big, huge, extravagant gifts, because in reality, I can buy those things for myself, right? So for me, it's more about the thought and the intent that goes behind the gift. So I hope that you had a day filled with love, and whatever way that looked like for you. It's important to not get caught up in the commercialization of Valentine's Day, because I think, at least for me, Valentine's Day is more than just a day to celebrate romantic love, right? For me, Valentine's Day, I like to say, is Love Day. So it's the day where we get to celebrate just love. All kinds of love, platonic love, love for our children, for our family, for our friends, humanity, love for ourselves. Like, I don't think we spend enough time loving ourselves. And I think that before we spend so much time focusing on giving and showing love to others, we first should be doing that for ourselves. And the reason that I say that is because so many of the world's problems are rooted from deep-seated self-hate, right? When we think about wars, when we think about crime, when we think about bullying, like, all of these things, like, all of that is a projection of the hate that these individuals have for themselves, because people who love themselves don't show up in the world that way. They don't show up in the world projecting that hate onto other people and onto their community and onto the world. So if we focused more of our time just loving ourselves and accepting ourselves as we are, and then also working on the parts of us that maybe we don't love that much or that we don't like, right? The idea, the goal is to get to a place where we love ourselves. And that requires a certain amount of work that unfortunately so many in the world are not willing to put in. I promise you that if everyone in this world loved themselves, the world would be an absolute much better place. And I say this just from some of the work that I've done with individuals, some of the work that I've done like on myself, like when we're not happy with who we are, when we're not loving ourselves 100%, there's no way that we can show up in the world as our best selves, because everything around us becomes a reflection of what's happening within us, right? So whatever tumultuousness is happening inside of us, whatever war we have going on with ourselves is what gets projected out into the world. So it's no shock when we think about dictators, right? When we think about those who are in power, who like to spew hate, we can think of the former administration and the former president and the way that he showed up in the world. This is what is the proper word that I want to use to describe him? He's just like such a small man. And because he is so small, the only way for him to feel like he's bigger than, right, is to project hate, you know, onto certain groups and to make himself appear better than by bringing down other people and other groups. And so I think that if we've learned anything just from some of our leaders, is that those who love themselves or who come from a place of love tend to lead people out of that place of love. And those who don't love themselves, those who have that self-hate, tend to lead from that place of hatred. And I think that the prior administration was the perfect example of that. And so when we talk about Valentine's Day, when we talk about all of these holidays that kind of focus on showing love or admiration or appreciation for others, I think that none of that is possible until we do it for ourselves, you know. And so I hope that your Valentine's Day was one where you showered yourself with love, and then that love was able to be projected out, you know, into those around you, those who are most important to you. And then that vibration kind of seeps out into the rest of the world, into your communities, into your circle of influence. You know, and if you're someone who struggles with self-love, you know what? There's no shame in that. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that many of us at some point in our lives have struggled with that just because of our experiences and how we were raised and what, you know, our immediate circle was like, you know. So if we have never been shown love, right, as children, then it's really hard to love ourselves because we don't even have a model for that. So if you're struggling in that area, it's okay. Don't
be ashamed, don't be embarrassed. But what's not okay is that you allow yourself to stay there. There's no reason why you have to stay in a place of self-hatred and self-loathing and not feeling like you're good enough or valuable enough, because then you're going to project all of that out into the world. So you have a responsibility to yourself to work on that, to work on what it means to love yourself so that you can show up in your work, in your community, in the world as the best version of yourself. Now, this week, this week's topic, I actually wanted to talk a little bit about our personal gifts, our talents, our God-given gifts, the things that really make us stand out in a crowd, the things that really set us apart from other people who might be doing similar work, right? We all have been endowed with special gifts. Some of them are gifts that we know already, and then others might be untapped gifts, undiscovered gifts that we don't even know we possess yet because we haven't spent any time nurturing those gifts. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk a little bit about these gifts and the responsibility that we each have in investing in these personal gifts, in their development, in nurturing them so that we can take these gifts and give them to the world to be in service of others. So sit tight. When we come back, we're going to get into this discussion.
You are now listening to the one and only Nancy Ruffin.
Thanks for sticking with me. We are back. And in this segment, we are going to talk about what it means to invest in our gifts. And it's important to understand that investing in your gifts or putting an investment in your talents and in your skills is more than just monetary. It's not always about you spending money on these things, right? We can think about it as it being a waste, an expense, or we can think about it as being an investment into something that is going to reap us a benefit, a reward, something. And there's so many ways to do that. You can invest your time, right? When you spend the time to nurture whatever gift you have, that is an investment because it's the time that you could be using to do something else. And sometimes that something else, could be time spent with family and friends or loved ones or your significant other, or it could be time spent out in the bar, hanging with your friends, brunch bouncing, hitting the hookah, whatever it is that you all are into. It could be time that you spend on vacation or lounging or relaxing. And so time is a resource, right? And it doesn't cost you anything with regards to money, but it definitely costs something, right? There's an opportunity cost associated with time when you take that time that could be used doing something else and instead focus it on nurturing your talents, your skills, your gifts. I mean, then there is, the actual monetary investment that you make, right? So it's when you take your money and you invest either in a class, in a seminar, in a coach, in anything where your dollars are helping to improve your skills, your talents, your gifts. And so many people just are not willing to invest. You know, we are each given, granted, blessed with God-given talents, God-given skills. But just because we have been blessed with this gift doesn't mean that we don't need to invest in nurturing it. You know, when I think about some of the greats, when we think about Michael Jordan, for example, LeBron James, Stephon Marbury, like all of these, Magic Johnson, all of these incredible basketball players, right, who clearly have been blessed with a God-given athletic ability, that doesn't mean that they did not invest in nurturing and developing that talent. These are men who spent hours and hours and hours, you know, in practice with coaches, with people that really helped to nurture the God-given skill, the God-given athletic ability, so that they could become greats. When we think about Kobe Bryant, you know, one of the things that people consistently attribute to his greatness is how much time and effort he gave to really becoming the best. It was all about practicing and making sure that every time he showed up on the basketball court, he showed up as his best self. When we think about performers like Michael Jackson, Beyonce, Madonna, you know, all of these incredible artists who not only have the God-given ability, you know, to sing, they have incredible voices, but these are also individuals who spend thousands of dollars on making sure that their performances are top-notch. These are people who spent countless hours in rehearsal and making sure that their voices are incredible and making sure that when they're out there on tour and when they're giving a show, that they're showing up as their best selves. Do you think that all of that stuff is free? No. This requires an investment of money, of time, of resources, you know, so that they can show up as their best self, so that they can take the gifts and the talents that God has bestowed upon them, and then they make them greater. Like this idea that just because we have a gift, just because we have a talent, that we don't need to invest in it, that we don't need to nurture it, that we don't need to develop it. I don't know where people think that just because you've been gifted, that you don't have to put in the work to become better, to actually develop the skill into what God has imagined for you. Like he did his part, right? He gave you the gift, but now you're responsible for taking what he has given you and multiplying that and nurturing it and making it stronger so that you can show up in the world as God intended you to be, so that you could use the gift that he gave you in the way that it was intended, so that you can make someone else's life better as a result of the gift that you have been given. But the problem is that so many of us operate from a scarcity standpoint. We have this view that if we hold on to things, if we don't relinquish, that it's never gonna come back to us. We're so scared to let go, right, that we block our own blessings, and we're constantly living in this environment of scarcity, of not enough, of not attracting abundance, because we are holding on, not realizing that it's in the letting go that we attract more to ourselves, right? Our gifts are not for ourselves. Our gifts are not to be held on tightly just for us. Our gifts are to be given. And in order to give your gift in its full capacity, you have to be willing to nurture and develop that gift. You have to stop operating from this scarcity mindset, thinking and believing that if you invest money, if you invest time, if you invest resources in developing yourself, that you somehow are not going to reciprocate that, or that you're not going to multiply it because you're so scared of letting it go. And I challenge you, you have to stop holding on to that mindset, because that scarcity mindset is keeping you stuck. You are blocking your blessings. You are limiting your potential because you are not trusting that God is the ultimate provider, and that what you give and that what you let go, he will replace. And not only will he replace it, he will multiply that He will multiply it beyond your wildest imagination. But you have to let go. You have to relinquish. You have to trust. You have to have faith. You have to believe. You have to believe that God gave you the gift for a reason. God gave you a gift for a purpose. He gave you the gift so that you could go out into the world and you can show people what he has done in your life. You got to be the testimony of what's possible. Right? And if you are at a place in your life right now where you're not really sure, maybe you don't know what your gift is. Maybe you haven't discovered that gift yet. Seek counsel from those who are closest to you, from those who know you, from those who love you. Solicit their advice. Talk to people that you trust and ask them, what do you think I'm great at? What are the gifts that you see in me? Right? Because sometimes we can't see our own gifts. You know, maybe you're that person that people confide in, that they trust, right? Maybe you have the gift of helping others through, you know, sort through their own issues. Like, not everyone has that gift. And maybe that's your gift, but maybe you don't see it just because it comes natural to you. You're the person that people always come to, you know, for advice because you have this otherworldly wisdom that not many people possess. Maybe you're a healer. Maybe you're a baker, right? And so the things that you bake and that you create, they make other people's lives a little bit sweeter. But you don't recognize that as your gift because to you, well, this is just something I enjoy doing. And baking can't possibly be a gift, right? Because in your mind, you have developed this expectation of what gifts are, not recognizing that you possess this gift. Because not everyone can bake. I sure can't. I have friends who are incredible cooks, amazing cooks. It's what they are so gifted in doing. But for them, they don't see that as a gift because, I mean, doesn't everyone know how to cook? No. And just because people know how to cook don't mean that they can cook well. And there's something about a person who cooks a meal filled with love that really fills a person. I have a friend who's an incredible cook. I love the way she cooks. When I eat her food, I mean, it is out of this world, right? And that is something, it's a God-given skill that she has been equipped with. So I want you to stop talking yourself out of your gifts just because you don't think they're showing up in the way that you think they should show up as. Right? Just because you're not a singer or a basketball player or the next Bill Gates, right? You don't have the gift of technology, but you know what? You don't have to have that gift. That wasn't the gift that God gave you. And you have to be willing to sit with yourself and say, wow, what is it that I'm good at? What do I enjoy? How can I use these things to be in service of others? Recognizing that not everyone has that gift. Ask your friends, ask them to, you know, to point out what are the things that you do exceptionally well that makes them feel good about themselves, that adds a little bit of joy to their lives. That's your gift. And then you need to figure out, well, what can I do to develop this gift and to develop this talent, right? How can I invest my own time, my own resources, my own money and developing this gift so that I can give it to others, so that I can use it to make the world a better place? And this is something that I say all the time. The world is not the entire world, right? I don't want you to think that you have to have this gift that has to serve the entire world, because the entire world is a huge place and there's no way that we can ever use our gifts to serve the entire world. But the world, and the way that I'm using it here, is your world. How can you use your gifts and talents to influence your world, your community, the people that you are around, your sphere of influence? What have you been holding back on? What have you been telling yourself, no, I don't need to invest here. I'm good right where I am. I don't want to break it to you, but we're never good where we are. There's always an opportunity for us to become better. There's always an opportunity for us to learn more. We all should be continuous students in the journey of life because there's always something to learn. You're never going to get to the point where you know it all. Even when you're an expert, even when you're great at something, there's always something more to learn. And so I encourage you to take some time, sit with yourself, ask people that you trust, figure out what your gifts are, and then invest in nurturing those gifts. And you can do it little by little. It doesn't have to be all at one time. You know, YouTube is a great resource for learning things. Books are also a great resource that don't require a huge dollar investment, you know, in helping you learn something new. Seek mentorships, purchase on-demand courses, or invest in a class at your local college or university. But do something, invest in yourself. You are not put on this earth to live a mediocre life. You were not put on this earth to hold on to your gifts. You were not put on this earth to live in this limited cocoon that you have created for yourself. You were created to be massive in this world. You were created to live bigger and to live in such a way that others are going to benefit from your life and from your gifts and from your talents. But you have to believe that about yourself. Because if you don't believe it, it's going to be hard for you to have others see that in you. You know, I know that my gift, that my talent is in writing. And as good of a writer as I think I may be, there's always opportunities for me to be better, which is why I invest in writing workshops, in writing residencies, in learning from other writers the craft of writing. Right? Because just being able to sit down in front of a computer or on a paper and write words on a page, that in it of itself, yes, it's writing, but that does not make a great writer. You have to learn craft and form and different ways of storytelling. And I don't know all of those ways. And I recognize that. And so what makes me a good writer is that I recognize that I still have work to do. And the work requires an investment. It requires an investment of my time. It requires an investment of my money. And if I want to become better, then these are the things that I have to do. Like, I do not live under this false idea that I'm just going to be the best writer in the world because God equipped me with the gift of writing. No, I'm going to become great because I continue to invest and develop and nurture my skill and talent. That's how we become better. Just because you have a story to tell, just because you could jot words down and put them on paper, does not make you a great writer. Yes, we can all write, but not all of us are good storytellers. And that requires an investment of learning. And I wish so many more people recognize that, because it would just make their work that much better. We all have phenomenal stories that the world, you know, should hear. But there's a way to tell the story that keeps people engaged and actively involved in the story that you're trying to tell. And this applies for any gift, for any talent in any industry. Like, whatever it is that you're doing, if it means something to you, if it's important to you, respect it enough to invest in developing that. Until next time, mi gente, thank you, as always, for rocking with me. If this episode blessed you in any way, please share it. Leave us a rating, leave us a comment. And as always, go out there and crush those goals.
Thank you for listening to the Nancy Ruffin Show.